Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, so quickly, December 25th, is that when Messiah, this, Gabriel,
yes,
Mary, little Cupid's around there. That is not what a cherubim looks like. A cherubim is a cherub, it's a throne guardian. Don't mess with them. You got it?
It's a bad book.
Okay, all right. December 25th, okay, look, we know when David set up the priesthood, they all worked a two-week shift, I think, maybe one, but 2 weeks, there was 24 shifts, and then they all worked on feast day. John's daddy was working a shift, he was in Abijah, we can know which course or group Abijah. He goes home, gets Elizabeth pregnant. She is 6 months ahead of Mary getting pregnant. We kind of know that kind of stuff, so we can kind of know, okay? But right here, there's a book out there, Ernest Martin has still got a good website, The Star That Astonished the World. Remember, set your calendar, December 21, you're going to see this few little stars come in again. They say it hadn't happened in 800 years. Cool. You're going to see some of that today. Jupiter planet, Regulus star, that's called the king star. Regulus, that's Latin for king. Venus. All these things coming together, okay? So if you got a clear night. Also, John Rosenberger, that was his website deal. Yeah, I'm going to quote some of John's stuff here when he talks about when Jesus was born and that stuff. Fantastic material. And then some others, okay? I'll send this to you if you want. Here's where we're going to look. Revelation 12. We're about to read it. Revelation 12 tells you astrologically when Jesus was going to be born. Oh, that's a bad word. Astrology. Can we mess with that?
Yeah.
Yes, we can, biblically, okay? Many Old Testament synagogues had on the floor of them or the wall of them, they had the zodiac. The word zodiac comes from zoad, which means the path, or get this, the way. Anyway, they talk about it in their books. They say the whole world was given this as a means, okay? Anyway, we're going to look at some of this. We'll look at it later. Here's what it looks like. Here's what it looks like that you're fixing to hear the guy talk about. Can you see Virgo? There she is. Various depictions, but she's not really there. If I took away the picture, you'd see, okay, these stars right here. Two legs, middle, head. And you look at that and you say, how did they get a virgin woman out of that? Right? That's what you would. You'd look up here at Leo. Look at that. You say, if all you saw was the stars, you'd say, why is that a line? And that ain't a blank. Right? And then, you see down here, we have Libra and Scorpio. Okay, they come next. Listen to me. How many of you used to look at your horoscope and that stuff? When I was a kid, you know, I look at the paper, you know. Never could understand it, of course. Libra and Scorpio that are right here under the feet of the Virgin. In the Old Testament times, there was one constellation called the dragon. Huh? Huh? Is that not cool? Now it's at Pinchers and I forget.
Scorpio.
Yes. Well, thank you. Okay. Yeah. All right. So look. So there it is. There they are lined up. Venus. Mercury, the sun, you got Regulus right up here, Jupiter. Jupiter is a king planet. Regulus, Latin, king star. Okay, look. Anyway, let's just go to the video.
All right, hey, who else understood all this stuff?
Say again?
Who else understood this stuff that were coming along?
I think people during that time.
The wise men.
Oh, the wise men. They were magi. They were studiers. They were disciples of whom? Well, Daniel. Thank you. Daniel. Daniel told them in chapter 9, Daniel said, let me tell you when this stuff's going to happen. Daniel, most beloved, he said, Gabriel said, I'm going to tell you, Daniel, here's what's going to happen. 77th, 490 years, okay, from the decree to go forth and build a temple, right? So why were people during Jesus' time looking for the Messiah? Why? Why? Why?
It was time.
They knew it was time.
It's coming.
They did. John the Baptist. Are you him? I ain't Christ. Right? But they were looking, and John was a big deal to bring people back to the moral propriety and fathers back to the children. If not, I'm going to come strike the land with a ban, curse, destruction.
Repent.
For the kingdom
of heaven is at
hand. At hand. Has drawn near. That's why the Lord said, when did the kingdom come? Well, at least by Jesus' ministry, but when did the king come? Well, when he was born. First Advent, right? Little baby in a stable. Oops! He wasn't in a stable. Forget that. Go look up the word. The word was that he was in the guest room. They didn't put him out in the cold. Okay, just tell me. All right, according to Scripture. Okay, you ready? This guy talks a little slower than some of you, but still.
Well, I don't know about
that.
All right,
hold on.
Yes, he does.
That was hard.
All right, he's talking, but let me give you some volume and I'll start it over.
Tell him who it is, who this guy is.
Okay, the guy's name is Michael Heiser. He is a...
some astronomy software that I have. This red line right here is...
All right, where's the pause?
Line of astronomers use.
It's kind of a dull bar looking thing.
Okay, so... His name is Michael Heiser, Old Testament scholar, speaks like 12 languages, all that stuff fluently. He puts this together, nine and a half minutes, and it explains what Revelation 12 says. So look, we got to read that first. Sorry, let's do this. We got plenty of time.
Could you spell Michael's last name?
H-I-S-E-R.
Thank you.
Worth your while, okay? to check them out, okay? All right, 12:1, somebody read. Now you realize, look, Revelation, apocalyptic literature. Highly symbolic, highly figurative, except for people like me who are trained as a dispensationalist, says, no, it's literal. Well, it is literal. But literal means according to its literature, and it is apocalyptic literature. This is like if they were making a movie, John is seeing a movie, and guess what? From chapter 4, he's looking at the movie from which direction? You better say top down. I was brought up and I was given these things to see. 4, okay? He ain't looking at it from down here. Okay? I'm just telling you. So the stuff you're going to read, highly symbolic, highly metaphorical, but not newly metaphorical or newly symbolic. Everything in here, Daniel, Ezekiel, Hosea, Isaiah, that's where he gets it, Zechariah. And look, that's why I love what CF did this morning. What talked about Jesus? Everything, the whole Old Testament. But some of you people, Recovered Church of Christ, anybody Church of Christ? You didn't study the Old Testament. We're the New Testament people. We're Pentecost forward. Oh, what do you miss? Okay. Catholic people, well, you didn't read the Bible. Okay. So I'm just saying, okay, you've got to know the old to understand the new. If you just open up, I'm just going to read the book of Revelation, and you say, well, I think this. That's why people sell books. But after the time goes by, you buy them for a nickel, you know? Terrible. Okay, let's read 12, 1 through 6. Okay, somebody read 12, 1 to 6. Look at the symbology, and then I'm going to show you how this fits. Okay, somebody?
I got CSB here.
Please.
A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in labor and agony as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven. There was a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its heads were 7 crowns. Its tail swept away a third of the stars in heaven and hurled them to the earth. And the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that when she did give birth, it might devour her child. You said through 4?
Through 7. 6.
Okay. She gave birth to a son, a male, who is going to rule all nations with an iron rod. Her child was caught up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God to be nourished there for 1,260 days.
Okay. So, look, a lot of stuff there, but look at verse 5. You want to see a one-verse summary of Jesus' work? She bore a male child who is about to, he said is going to, but I'm sorry, it's mellow, She bore, past tense, a male child who is about to, present tense, rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up, and that's harpazo, that's the same word as the rapture word in 1 Thess 4, by the way. So he was caught away to God in his throne. How many years between those two things? Bore the child, caught away to the throne. How many years? When did he start his ministry? 30. And then he had a ministry of 3.5 years. So there's 33 and a half years right there in one verse, okay? But then he was caught away to the throne. Now he's then he was reigning on the throne at the right hand of God, okay? For going to be 40 years, okay? Which is that other stuff. Okay, so you see what Mike just read, okay? This stuff, the sun clothed the woman, 12 stars above, okay? Moon at her feet. Now, this is where biblical astronomy is okay. Okay?
But not Babylonian astrology.
There you go. Not Babylonian, okay? And they were affected by that stuff, but not John. Not John getting the picture that you just read. Okay? That's it. So, now just watch the video.
I want to show you a short set of slides to explain prophecy. These slides come from a PowerPoint that I use when I lecture on this. What you're looking at here is an image from some astronomy software that I have. This red line right here is the ecliptic. That's an imaginary line that astronomers use, and it marks the path of the constellations. Obviously, we have sun along the ecliptic in this illustration. Here's an illustration of the, again, familiar constellations, how they follow the ecliptic right here. Now, what we have here, and again, this is part of a lecture I do in Revelation 12, is the constellation Virgo, the Virgin. If you go back and read Revelation 12, it is very obviously about the virgin birth, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. But the signs and symbols that are used in Revelation 12 are well-known astronomical symbols. The constellation Virgo is the only one that represents a woman. For 20 days, Virgo is clothed with the sun. That's an astronomical term that means the sun appears in the constellation. That language comes from Revelation 12. But in Revelation 12, we not only have the sun clothing the woman, or inside the woman, we have the moon at her feet. The important note here is that for 20 days, Virgo gets clothed with the sun. But the exact day when the moon is under her feet can occur only during an 80-minute window within that span of days. So both of these signs, the sun in Virgo and the moon at her feet, are important. And the sun is about midway in her midsection. Again, there's symbology there as far as the pregnancy. If you actually looked up the constellation Virgo in Norton's Star Atlas, and I'm sure other atlases, there would be 12 visible stars around her head. Again, this is all well-known ancient world symbology. Astronomical, observable astronomy. If we look at the alignment of constellations, here's Virgo in the middle. I've taken the pictures out and just done the line drawings. Sun in the midst of Virgo, moon at her feet right here. Above Virgo's head is Leo, of course, the lion, lion symbology, the Lion of Judah. Within Jupiter, at the very same time that Virgo is clothed with the sun and the moon is at her feet, we have a conjunction between Regulus and Jupiter. Jupiter is known as the king star in ancient astronomy. It's because it's the biggest one. Regulus, of course, if you know Latin, you know that's terminology for the king. That is the king star. So the king planet, Jupiter, and the king star, Regulus, in conjunction. If you did any reading on, got a Martin's book or some other sources. This is very important symbology for a royal birth. It's known all through the ancient world. so happens that in this situation, we have this simultaneous conjunction in the constellation Leo, again, which was in Jewish astronomy and Jewish astrology, and that was practiced for many centuries. We have the sign of the royal birth in the tribe of Judah, which is obviously messianic. And by the way, the whole thing about Jewish astrology, there have been a number of zodiac mosaics uncovered in Jewish synagogues in Palestine in the early centuries of the early church. There are whole dissertations written on this subject, Jewish and Christian attitudes toward the stars. There is an Orthodox astronomy, an Orthodox astrology, if you want to call it that. In the ancient world, astronomy and astrology are pretty blurred. And there are obvious non-Orthodox or pagan systems as well. Below here, below the woman, okay, we have the sun in Virgo and the Virgin, moon at her feet. In modern zodiac, we have here Scorpio and then Libra, the scales. In the ancient world, these were combined. If you can conceive of this in your imagination, here's the detail of Scorpio, and then Libra was thought to be the claws that were joined right here. So this entire set of what are now two constellations were in the ancient world viewed as one, and it was known as the dragon. Again, that's right out of Revelation 12. Here's a superimposed picture over it. Now we have Scorpio and Libra, the scales, but in the ancient times this was one known as the dragon. There's another candidate for the dragon in Revelation 12 on the other side of the ecliptic. We have Hydra right here. But I tend to think that what John is describing is the ancient dragon constellation right here, Scorpio and Libra combined in today's terminology. Now, the important thing about this is that in Revelation 12, all of these signs can occur, again, in only an 80-minute window of each other. So to account for all the signs in Revelation 12 during not just one calendar year, but during a whole series of astronomical periods and ages, you have a very small window of time where all of these things can be present at the same time, where everything is accounted for. The birth of the child in Revelation 12 is noted up here. Again, whom John identified with Jesus, occurring while the sun was clothing the woman, the king star, king planet in Leo, in Jupiter, or not Jupiter, but the sign for the tribe of Judah. All of these things did occur in a year that fits well for Jesus' birth, and that is 3 BC. What I've just laid out for you is common knowledge in many planetaria throughout the country and in Europe. That this is one of the candidates for the birth of Christ. It's the only birth year that accounts for all of these symbols. So if you read in the academic literature about candidates for the birth of Christ, they range anywhere from 2 BC to 6 BC. But none of the scholarly literature that I've seen considers Revelation 12, and I think that's the missing element. The real sort of interesting thing about 3 BC is since this concatenation of signs can only occur in an 80-minute window, we know exactly the date of the birth of the Messiah in 3 BC, and that date is September 11th, which, again, this kind of spooks people. September 11th, 3 BC, is the only time, the only day for many, many, many centuries that you could have all of these signs come together. This date as well, if you notice this note, also corresponded at the time to Rosh Hashanah, Tishri 1, New Year's Day for the Jews, which was also the Day of Trumpets. This was the day that many of the ancient kings and rulers of Judah reckoned as their inauguration day of rule. That procedure was followed consistently in the time of Solomon, Ezra. This is the day that would have marked the birth of the King of the Jews. And so we have an alignment with the Jewish tradition, the Jewish calendar, all the astronomical imagery in Revelation 12, September 11th, 3 BC, can also accommodate all the circumstances associated with the death of Herod and, you know, all these historical questions that have come up when people are trying to come up with a date for the birth of Christ. Again, you won't find this in a lot of the scholarly literature because they aren't considering Revelation 12. They're using Matthew 2 with, you know, the wandering star. What that was, it was the conjunction of Jupiter and Regulus. Jupiter has right retrograde motion that appears to move in the sky. And this is all well known in the literature. With that much they do cover, but the missing link here is the Revelation 12, taking that seriously as astral prophecy.
Is that cool or what?
So who picked December the 25th?
The church, the little C Catholic, the Universal Church, okay? And they did it because of some of the things I mentioned to you a while ago. First of all, early church didn't celebrate Christmas until they mainly were celebrating resurrection, okay? And so when they started doing that, people say December 25th was Saturnalia. That's when, you know, December 20th, you know, coming up, that's when the days begin to get longer, right? But it wasn't until like 260 AD that a Roman emperor, Aurelius, he started using that date to re-begin some Roman stuff. Church was probably already doing it. All right, so look, I have some books here. Take one per family, but Merry Christmas. But it's called Can God Tell Time? Okay? If you have a library or you begin to get a library, put this in there. Read it. It's a great book that talks about the time statements in Scripture. You better watch the time statements or you don't know where you are. You're going to read that and you say, oh man, this is about to happen. And you're reading a 2,000-year-old letter. Shame on you. Okay? You're reading somebody else's mail. And you better read it with audience relevance. So anyway, I'm going to leave these here. Take one if you want. They're good. Come in.
Okay. He shows September 11th, whatever.
Yeah, but quit saying September 11th. I would tell you, say Tishri.
September
1. Put your turban on. What day was Jesus born on? Tishri 1. It's amazing. All right, go ahead, ask your question.
Okay, well, long time ago, when we was having a Bible study somewhere else, we asked that question, was Jesus really born on that day? And the guy, the teacher said, at one point he did believe that until he went to Israel. When he went to Israel, he said he went in the winter time, and he says at that time it was Christmas. He said, and it's freezing cold out there. He says so, and he says so when they went, that when the angel came to the shepherds and they were laying out there in the field, he said they couldn't because it's freezing. It had to be somewhere in September. That's what I was taught.
Some people believe it was March. Some people believe it's September based on that. All those are extra-biblical logical issues. What does extra-biblical mean? Outside of the Bible.
Outside of the Bible.
So cool. Okay, that's why everybody debates this. Why do they say 3 BC? Because this lines up. Daniel said it's going to be this time. They were watching. Okay, it's God up here in this time. There's a long time for 100 years. I'm telling you, the star deal about to happen next week. 800 years. This stuff don't happen all the time. Okay, so all that stuff had to come into view, and you can have all these logical reasons why it wasn't. This is another thing to just put in the pot to say when. Tishri 1 was the first day of the year. Oh, I thought we started at Passover. That was the first year. No, their new year. Even today.
The Jewish New Year?
Jewish New Year. It's in September, October. It's Tishri 1, also called Rosh, the head of the year. That's their new year. That's also Feast of Trumpets. Okay? They also have the next Day of Atonement, which comes 10 days later, is Yom, the Day of Kippur, which is Atonement. Okay? And the last one in this feast, three fall feasts, think about this. Wouldn't Jesus come in a time when, first of all, it's when the king is born? Number two, it's the Day of Atonement. Number three, the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, which means dwelling with man. Is that not cool? Yes, it's cool. He comes then in the year We thought it was 1, okay, because that's when they did the calendar, but they got us off. So it's 3 BC. And then, now I'm going to tell you, when he comes again, many people, all futurists say he's going to come again at this time to fulfill those 3 feasts. And I'm telling you, guess when the temple was destroyed, the old one, the Moses one? Get rid of that thing because that ain't me. I'm the new temple. Can you think about when it was destroyed? 70 AD. 70 AD. So anyway, there's some symbology there. Anyway, John is an expert, and you'll go read his stuff, but have you ever thought, Adam lived how many years? 930. Jesus lived, you got to ask that question this way, how many years as being a man, still a king man, but until his kingship was consummated, and I'm going to tell you a short answer, 70, 930 years of Adam 1, 70 years of Adam 2 equals 1,000-year reign of a man, and I'm saying something special to that, and so when you're studying 1,000-year reign, all that kind of stuff, you need to be thinking about that. Anyway, let's don't go down that trail. That's a long statement of thing. But what do you think about this lecture and understanding this kind of stuff? And I'm telling you, John the Baptist, all that can be, it fits. If John the Baptist was born, if Mary was really conceived on December, she fits, okay, to have a birth 9 months later. If John was conceived in 6 months before, which fits his daddy, Zechariah, coming home, and he's supposed to do something, and Elizabeth now going to have a baby. It fits. I'm just saying. They knew this stuff. Okay, so let me open up. Questions, comments. You ever heard that? You ever heard any of this?
Comment. This is from crossexamine.org, a guy by the name of Chilton. And there's just a few sentences here that he does what you've done.
Yes.
But a whole lot smoother.
The
growing body of evidence seems to suggest that Jesus was born sometime between 6:15 p.m. to 7:45 p.m. on September 11, 3 B.C.
Really?
While September 11 holds bad memories for individuals in the United States, it would have been a day of celebration in ancient Israel, for it would have been the beginning of the Feast of Trumpets. And how would you announce the coming of a king? A feast associated with the Messiah and his return. The Feast of Trumpets called for national repentance and also marked the start of a new agricultural year. The blast from a shofar would announce the beginning of the feast. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, would follow the Feast of Trumpets. Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year.
How long is this going to go on, Mike? I mean, look,
we
got that. I said all that. But isn't that interesting? There's somebody else. They're on the same day getting the same significance out of these feasts. And when it's happening? Look, you could dig this until you die. I don't know when you reach the depths of it. It's like all scripture. Isn't it beautiful, though? I'm just saying. Look, is this a plan of God or what? You know, who's going to look at this and say, coincidence?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Comment.
Well, I think it fits in kind of the motif of the Old Testament anyway. You got the types and the real. I mean, you got, you know, the types of Christ, the types of Exodus, all that kind of stuff. And then you have the titiary one, which they, you know, no matter when their king became king, the physical king, that's the day they started with. And here comes Jesus being the real.
Amen. That's it. Yes, you had a comment.
All right, maybe not quite timing, but I've said this before. When you look at the original text about the, you know, it says Elizabeth conceived, and it says Mary conceived.
Yes.
When you look at the Greek, it shows you the tenses of the verb conceive. Elizabeth, it's an active verb. When Elizabeth conceived, she had something to do with it. She took part in it. When you see the conceived verb with Mary, it's passive. Mary had nothing to do with Jesus being conceived. God did that and put it inside her.
Is that cool?
Go look it up.
Is that cool? Just like what Mike read in verse number 3 where it says Mary, I mean it says she was about to give birth. And in the same verse, and it said about to give birth in his translation, okay? But in the same verse when it says he is going to rule, bad. That's the same word, but it's present tense instead of past. He's about to rule with a rod of iron. Think about when John wrote this. Jesus was about to rule with a rod of iron because he was about to come back and fulfill these things as the triumphant king. And he was going to defeat the last enemy that was going to be destroyed, which was death. And that's spiritual death. I'm just saying. Okay? You had a comment.
Yes, sir. I wanted to know, you know, all the Jews were displaced when Jesus was born because they had to go for the census. And so they were all, you know, not where they lived. They were displaced. So did they still observe those festivals that we just talked about, even though they were out and about?
Huge. Where did you go three times a year? In the fall is the third one. Where did you go for the festivals?
Jerusalem.
How packed was Jerusalem at the time of his birth? Packed. He was staying in Bethlehem, not in a stable, probably a guest room. They were okay, all right? So yes, why did they do it in the fall? The Romans wasn't dumb. We just sold our crops. We just sold our grapes. We got, that's like Teddy Daddy was a farmer. When was he fat? After you sell the crop. That's why we have fall fairs. We got some money. Well, same thing.
Yeah.
So yes, tons of people. But they weren't all going to Jerusalem. Some, they had to go to their ancestral home.
Yes.
But really, that might have been just a Judean Benjamite thing. It wasn't the 10 tribes from up there north, because they're gone. So really, when they were going back to their place, it was probably going to Jerusalem, just those two tribes left, and Benjamin's that big. Judah was the big deal at that time.
But they went to Bethlehem because that was the city of David.
No, because Joseph, well, yes it was, and that Joseph had been born there. And remember, they were enrolling. What list were they getting on?
Taxes.
IRS list. Yeah, the census. For what reason? For the Romans?
Taxation.
We're going taxes. Yeah.
I was just going to say, the terminology that we use, you mentioned it earlier, like equinox and solstices, is that a church terminology or is that secular?
No, that's secular astronomy. Okay. Astronomy. You heard what he said, but if you didn't, I'm going to listen to him so I catch it. But he says, ancient astrology and astronomy are blurred. You heard that? It's okay. Look, why would a guy in India read, and they got their own name for that virgin, for that Leo, for all, why? How did they know that? Well, it's the words Paul in Romans where he says, his word has gone out to all the world, and it uses a term there for the path, okay? I'm just saying, I forget the details, but I'm just saying, God let everybody know this was going to happen, but how many could figure it out? None. Till afterwards, and that's that messianic mosaic motif, you know? Oh man, it's a beautiful deal, is what it is. So, anyway, we don't have time no more, but I can show you more where, what did the Magi see, Mike? Well, they were seeing stuff all the way from 3 BC, all the way into 2 BC, Look, they saw when Jesus was born, all this stuff. And they knew. They said, okay, let's go. How old was Jesus whenever they showed up? Less than
two.
Maybe a year and a half later, because we do know when the Feast of the Wise Men is done, according to tradition. I'm just saying.
Technically, wasn't a child, toddler.
He was a child and he was in a house. Uh-huh. Right on. Thank you. Absolutely.
You're so much better at seeing the symbols in creation and metaphors and stuff. We don't see all these pictures, like you said, you know, how would you ever get a lion out of those three stars? But even in Genesis, it says they put the stars in the sky to mark times.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In the very beginning.
Yes, when the stars are put, it's to mark the times and the season. And let me tell you, Jesus came at just the right time. Born under the law, Galatians 4. Okay, and that word is not chronos, like my chronometer. It's kairos. It means the Lord's appointed time. Even in what he read, if you go further in Revelation 12, it says even the devil, this war they were having, was at the time of the war. And guess what word that is? Appointed time by God for the war, the ultimate war. That's why there's possibility. There ain't no devil, dragon, all that no more. Because Rev 20, if Rev 20 has happened, he's done. So now who do you blame for your sin?
Me.
So.
You don't want to say that. I know you don't want to say that. Okay, come in.
I understand that God put the stars in the sky, but who and when did they discern that that's a lion or a leaf? And that's a woman or whatever.
From forever. No. Before then. No, they were big into it, but Assyria had their own deal. Yeah. Israel had their own Zoad. The way, the path, they knew this stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. So I mean, that's why in that book the guy talks about it. And there's another book I have, I couldn't find it to bring it, didn't matter, but it's called Gospel in the Stars. And basically it says, they said, and Paul quotes it in Romans blank, I forget, Paul says, it's been in the stars, but who understood it?
Right.
But it's the gospel. It's coming. It's all that virgin. You're gonna have a child and war and all. And all that stuff.
So basically you were saying that the whoever put the line on the stars, that was God inspired.
They knew. That's God that did.
Only God inspired.
From Genesis, chapter 1.
Yeah. Yeah. So the plan didn't change from Genesis chapter 1. It was written so detailed. How could we say it changed?
Yeah.
It's the same plan from the beginning.
Anyway, beautiful. Just a great deal. It's just exciting to me. Okay, so last comment, John Mike.
It's interesting.